Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. How you doing, my little buddy?
Crudy, happy hump day, man. I am doing great. Good to be with you, Evan, on the board. Our fair audience, it's a hump day. It feels like a Friday to me, though, Crudy.
You're acting downright feisty. You've been talking major trash. People send us critiques of this fine program, and you trash talk them.
Well, yeah, man. I said all along, Crudy, we don't get nearly enough hate mail. But if you're gonna send an email, that's fine. But if you're going to be insulting, then you should expect perhaps a non-FCC compliant response from yours truly. All these keyboard warriors, man, bring it all day, any day, anywhere, baby.
Well, I was going to start here. Here's my first take on the politics of today. There are no moderates. There
are no
moderate Republicans. And then I find myself chastising you. And I mean, there's not a lot of lines that you can cross as far as I'm concerned. You know, we've crossed them. Been there, done that, right?
Right.
But I got to tell you, my friend, you might have crossed some lines. If I could publicly chastise you for the radio audience. So this two-lettered name guy, why is it always the two-lettered name guys?
Yeah, right.
So this guy's name, he calls himself TD because he's Al Bundy, probably scored some touchdowns in high school, still calling himself TD from glory days. But anyways, TD sends us an email yesterday. You guys are unprofessional idiots.
Unprofessional?
And I responded, and you also responded. So I'm gonna go first. I responded to TD, the self-monikered. Some days we're unprofessional idiots, but still damn entertaining. Thanks for listening. You know, see how he put the positive spin on that? You know, thanks for listening. Because if he doesn't like us, you know, it's a little irritating when someone's really positive when you're trying to be a jerk. They're like, you're swell. You know, I just feel like maybe I got under his skin a bit. So, and I've got a suggestion here for what TD might stand for. We'll get you Jeff's suggestion in just a moment. But you, my little buddy, you chose to respond differently. Before you did, and I don't know if you saw TD's response to me.
I did not.
As Jeff would call him, Tiny D. Let's call him TD.
Tiny D. All right.
TD says, not entertaining at all. You're both insouciant fools who talk truth to power. And then all caps, Trumpist style, truth to the tyranny of power. And I got to admit, TD, I don't even quite understand what you're trying to tell me here. Try interviewing Chris Hedges or William Ingdahl. I haven't yet gotten to look those two up. Unfamiliar. I'll be honest, TD. I'm unfamiliar with your source because I sort of got distracted by Dom's response. Dom had an independent response. And can I share? I'm going to clean it up.
Sure, man. You clean it up best you can. I don't care, man. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Because I got to tell you, in written form, you're far from FCC compliant. So again, this email, not subjected, just return, you know, without subject. Dom returns, unprofessional idiots, question mark. And then I'm going to take out the FCC non-complaint words. Eat crap, you punk bitch. Tom. And then in the less FCC compliant way, you told him, and P.S., I had sex with your mom. Oh, you said it in a much more blatant fashion, a much more profane fashion. Yeah. And I'm like, I got to tell you, man, you cracked me up. I'm like, wow.
Man, you come in the ring, man, expect to get punched in the face, TD. I mean, what do you think's going to happen? You send out popping off emails, insulting people. You think someone's just going to say, oh, thank you. Thank you for your feedback. And I'm going to try so much harder. Oh, hell no, man. No, you insult me, dude. Come on. No, that's not how it's going to happen. And so, yeah, you can call us too, man, but you got to be FCC compliant. 844-967-2789, TD.
Well, right now would not be a excellent time for Tiny D to call in because we've got a fine guest coming soon. He is cannabis entrepreneur Alan Robinson. My understanding, he's in the hizzy right now, Dom. So we're going to get to him soon. And there's a lot of legislative pieces moving here in the state of Wisconsin. And I talk about the fact there are no moderates.
No.
Republican Speaker of the Assembly, Robin Foss, says there is no path to legalize Wisconsin. You know, let's kill this one in the bud. And if Tony Evers, the governor, even brings it up in his budget, we're going to have to burn this whole house down. That's the moderation of Republicans on the local level. But back to our buddy Tiny D here via email. So Tiny D then felt it necessary to respond to you as well, Dom. And he's name dropping our buddy Chad Larson, the owner of KTNF, one of the fine affiliates, AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. This fine program plays out there. So anyways, he name drops the owner there and threatens us, Dom. I will let Chad Larson, the owner of KTNF AM 950, know about your vulgarity and have him take you off the air in Minnesota. You're going to be blackballed from Minnesota, Dom.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, but on-air vulgarity would be a problem.
Yes, I see that. FCC regulations and all that.
But your written response to Tiny D, less problematic, although funny. You did crack me up today, buddy.
Freedom of speech, bitch.
And he had one more response. So he says, you know, he's going to get our profane asses thrown off of KTNF. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. And your response was, how about instead, you eat a bag of Tiny D's. And then he signed it, Dom. At least you distinguished.
Yes, I just want to be clear that he knows where it's coming from. That's from me, Dom.
Because Tiny D didn't actually sign, although there was an email address. So, you know, that's how we start the day. Dom, answering. You know, a little criticism from the audience, Dom. You think everyone's going to love us? I mean, they should.
I mean, they should. And if they don't, that's okay, too. That's fine. You know, I get it. It takes a little while to maybe warm up to us, TD. But I did recognize I apparently did get some emails last year from this cat that were buried in my inbox. But
after what you did to his mom.
And I never called her either. Again, you can not like it. You can turn the channel. You can, hell, you can even pipe in and lament how things could have been better or whatever. But if you're going to take personal digs, if you're going to insult us, well, then you should be prepared to be insulted back. It's very simple.
Well, Wisconsin Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss may have a bone to pick because I might insult him for this advocacy. So, Tiny D. The phone lines are open all the time around here, buddy. Lightly screen. We take your ass. We'll dump you if you're profane, but, you know, we'll allow you on the greatest radio show ever hosted by two unprofessional guys, especially that one. And we do see you, Jack, so be patient. We'll get to you eventually. Again, 844-96-PARTY. It's a party up in here. But I'm a little frustrated, Dom.
Yeah.
Governor Tony Evers ran on a reelective platform of legalized marijuana. That's the advocacy the Democratic governor put out there. And it's supported by, what, 65% of Wisconsinites approximately, if you talk about all forms of recreational adult use, legalize marijuana, tax it, regulate it, do it the right way. Do it like, you know, they told us. I mean, it's been going on a decade, I feel like, Dom. Look at Colorado. Look to Colorado. I've been looking, man. It looks awfully green and good.
Yeah, it's great, man. I love going to Colorado. I love going to Illinois. Hell, I love going to Michigan. I love going everywhere where, you know, you're not persecuted for smoking a little weed, Robin Voss.
But you realize there is a legislative piece that's being threatened to be put on the floor. Senate Republicans apparently support sort of a Miller Lite watered-down version of your better cannabis policy. And my understanding, and we're going to get clarity from cannabis activist and entrepreneur Alan Robinson shortly, but my understanding is this medical marijuana proposition Republicans roll out is effectively nearly unpalatable to anyone that knows anything about marijuana. And when you force people to take it in a, I feel like this is like the same issue that Robin Voss has with abortion. You know, abortion's been overturned. It's illegal here under an 1849 law. Very regressive. And Robin Voss is willing to come this far. I'll make exceptions for rape and incest. And why won't Tony Evers come halfway to me? Well, because you're still banning abortion in the state of Wisconsin. Well, this crappy piece of legislation, my characterization, we'll see Alan's opinion soon, is not about really making medical marijuana widely available to people with medical needs. And as Robin Voss has made it very clear, it's clearly not going to be a pathway to legalizing recreational marijuana, even though that's what the vast majority of Wisconsinites, a super majority of us, would like to see. So moderate, reasonable Wisconsinites would like to see the tax revenue, like to see less than a prohibitionist attitude here in the state of Wisconsin. I think that failed. I mean, it was okay. They made booze legal again, but the marijuana, the cannabis prohibition's been going on for years. And the ridiculous part is there are alternative cannabis products that are legal, according to the FDA, state law. They're being sold. I got a head shop next door. They sell the Delta 8. They sell all the products, but it's like 3-2 beer, and I prefer it straight. Dom likes tequila and good strong weed. Come back, Alan Robinson is next.
Grace, he's tiny.
Welcome to Douche Nation.
Roll another blunt. Yeah.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Make sure you check us out on the socials, on Twitter at Devil Radio, on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio, and find all the podcasts and info at civicmedia.us.
Dominic, I've been joined here in Madison in the Solidarity Realty Studios by a good friend of ours. He is a cannabis activist, a cannabis entrepreneur, and a birthday boy. He is Alan Robinson from our neighborhood here. He owns Herbal Aspect, him and his partners. Alan, welcome back to the big show, man.
Hey, Alan, happy birthday, man.
Hey, thanks, Dom. Thanks for having me back on today, guys. I appreciate you.
Tilt that screen. Let the audience see it. Those that, you know, like the visual product.
There it is.
Yeah, tilt it a little. There you go. There you go.
Okay.
Looking all sexy, and you're very dapper, sir. May I point out?
You know,
the best dressed cannabis activist I've, you're not your father's hippie.
No, sir. You know, I figure A, when you're going into the Capitol, you want to respect the building, number one, right? You want to respect the history of the building and the building itself.
I know you're not wearing flip-flops. Typically, Tom wears flip-flops when he respects the Capitol.
Nah, these are Italian. Let me stop. but you know, and then when you're meeting potentially with Republicans, you specifically want to look like you have some money. So that's a thing.
Because if you look like a potential donor, you're more likely to get in the door.
Well, I mean, all I'm going to say is that they don't respect who they refer to as commoners, like us being like, and I'm that, right? I'm not wealthy. I'm irresponsible. And there's a big difference.
That you could have been wealthy, perhaps, if you weren't so damn financially irresponsible.
Hey, man, I'll just tell the truth and shame the devil. But I mean, the fact is, you know, I you don't want to go in allowing for like them to just have a bad impression of you off the cuff. Beyond that, you know, as business people, right, we went in as cannabis entrepreneurs to talk specifically about medical today. And
describe what medical. Not everyone's the stoner that my buddy Dom is. So draw a distinction. Medical marijuana, typically how is it used and how is the Republican proposition, how would that differ than normal usage as I would describe it?
So first off, everything is really fast moving, right? And the Republican legislation that was proposed last session by Senator Falskowski had a bunch of qualifying conditions that an individual could be prescribed cannabis for. That cannabis would need to be in anything other than a botanical form. So like when I say botanical, I mean flower. That's the good stuff that we want to smoke, right?
You could not under the legislative piece put forward prior, you couldn't get flower. You couldn't smoke marijuana or cannabis as most people would choose to consume it.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And so one of the things that, you know, our legislators don't seem to understand is that they're driving people into the illicit market by not allowing for botanical cannabis, because you can get different therapies and different phenotypes, different expressions out of the botanical cannabis that are going to have different medical applications. Now, those therapies people want, and they're going to continue to get them. So they're either going to engage with drug dealers and or the illicit market, or they're going to engage in the regulated market and with the state. So if our regulators don't allow for botanical cannabis, then they're encouraging people to go to drug dealers and the illicit market, because they're already doing it. It's not like people aren't going across over to Illinois.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates, Alan Robinson, our pal, coming in, giving us an update on the cannabis conversation at the Capitol. Okay, so you went in today and did you get down, did you have some meeting with some folks, and did you express your positions, and how were you received?
You know, I got to tell you, sometimes when I get in there, some of those folks aren't happy to see me. Other times, they absolutely are. Now, when I got in there and saw... you know, we met with the staff from Representative Neubauer's office today. She was
Greta Neubauer, the Assembly Minority Leader, Democrat.
Yeah. And, you know, we went over some of the more particular policy points that we would like to see in the bill. And we were wondering, you know, who on the Republican side we're going to be able to work with, you know, and those folks in her office and her chief of staff, they were very receptive. And they seem to be like they're really working earnestly with the leader in the Senate, Senator LeMahieu.
Minority Leader.
The Minority Agard Leader in the Senate. Side. They're working very earnestly with Senator Agard's office to kind of get something done, right? After that meeting, you know, and there's such a contrast between, you know, the office is there because, you know, we also met with the staff from Senator Teston's office, right? Zach's a good guy. I met with them and they were...
Patrick Teston, Republican senator.
Yep. Now, you know, we understood that, you know, we didn't have any constituents from either Racine or from Patrick Teston's district, right? So it was fine for us to meet with those individual, their staff, right? It was, and to be perfectly honest, Patrick Teston introduced a bill with botanical cannabis and got beat up for it. Maybe after the break, I can talk to you a little bit about how the reception and the experience was different with the leader and his office, and how I just don't understand. If they're open for medical cannabis, we were treated the way that we were today.
And you're talking about Speaker Robin Voss's office.
I'm sorry, Leader. We didn't.
LeMahieu's office.
Leader LeMahieu's office. That was. It was just such a jarring experience.
Well, we'll learn all about it from our friend Alan Robinson. He is a cannabis activist, advocate, entrepreneur. How's business next door?
Man, the legacy.
Stays busy in the parking lot back here, man.
Ooh, 30% off all day. We're running that tall for a while. We'll talk about all that in the next.
You know, later in the show, I'm going to tell my audience about a advertising giveaway. Small business owners getting free advertising. $1 million worth across the state of Wisconsin.
Oh, how
we're
can
going
I get
big. In? Yeah. Well, you're going to have to sign up. You're going to have to get on the website, Alan Robinson. Sign up. January 26th, one day only, we're giving away $1 million. That'd be a lot of edibles. Come back. Yeah. Alan Robinson, more of the Devil's Advocates on the other side.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's the Hump Day Edition. We got a fine guest here in the Madison Solidarity Realty Studios. He's my friend, cannabis activist, entrepreneur, Alan Robinson. That one was for you, Alan.
Oh, man, I can dig it. It's hammer time.
It's hammer time. Well, happy birthday to you. And you went up to the state capitol and you lobbied some of our Republican friends. Let's call them friends for sake of conversation. And we want legalized cannabis. But right now, today, as you were describing, this conversation happening in real time was about medical use cannabis, marijuana. And Republicans, to my interpretation, have a completely different definition of medical use cannabis because they don't want people to use cannabis like they normally would. They want to determine what the appropriate and acceptable use of cannabis might be with three doctors' orders and perhaps the life of the mother at risk. You know, it seems very much like their abortion policies, but I digress. So you went up to the leader's office. You went up to LeMahieu, the Republican Senate leader's office, and you didn't get a warm reception.
Well, it was strange. It was like entering the Twilight Zone. And I will tell you this. It is clear that the answer to cannabis reform in Wisconsin is a full adult responsible use bill. That is the absolute truth. It is not wise. In fact, it is very unwise to push somebody past where they are ready to be, right? And to force something. Now, if our representatives, if our senators are simply not ready to be there, trying to push them in that direction is only going to further entrench them, right?
Now bring a bag of money, Alan. You'll see how much you get pushed.
Well, I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
I hear you. So this is what went down. We walk in, you know, and previously I'd set up these meetings and I specifically wanted to meet with Leader LeMahieu because he said he was open to cannabis, medical cannabis, right? Saying that let us know that we have, you know, there's a future for this.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Hey, man. All we wanted to do was inform policy today. That was it. We wanted to make sure that there was some sensible policy recommendations being put forward and find someone in the Republican Party in the Senate that we could work with to draft some legislation. Right. So I ensured that, you know, we brought a business owner. We had business owners from all over the state. We had a business owner from Sheboygan, Trisha Daniels of Brick and Mortar Hemp. We had business owners come down from La Crosse. We had that Carbon Cannabis, Austin Wozelik, and Dylan Beyer came down with Tree Huggers. We had Milwaukee showed up, Mark Hubbard with M6. You know, we brought forward a group of like-minded individuals who are looking for responsible regulation in our current industries, but also to inform good policy on cannabis. So we made sure we brought forward one of his constituents. And when they called back last night to reconfirm the meeting, they actually asked, is a constituent going to be present? Yeah, of course. And when we get in there today, I said, well, you know, because is Devin going to be present? We want to speak to the leader himself. We're not going to waste our time as business people driving halfway across the street to meet with a staff member. All due respect. And that's what they sent in at first. And I explained to them, you know, very respectfully, that we would wait until the senator was out of his previous meeting.
And you didn't give him any sort of Dominic style salutation. I'm sorry, I interrupt.
I promise I was nice. I shook hands and I smiled.
Yes. Now, well done, sir.
Yeah, man. I tried. Then, you know, eventually his chief of staff came in. And initially she was polite and she said that the leader wouldn't be able to meet with us today because he was in other meetings. And then I said, well, you know, that's unacceptable because we wanted to meet with him. And, you know, although she's a nice lady, she is an inappropriate proxy. We are the decision makers in our businesses, and we came to inform policy with a decision maker who works for one of those business people. His direct constituent was there. She was unhappy about this, and when she said, well, you know, I'll reschedule or whatever, she asked for my business card. But no, because you have my contact information, ma'am. You called me last night. With that, she slammed back from her table, from the table. She slammed the door open, stormed out of the conference room, and slammed the office door on us.
I would call that unprofessional conduct.
Yeah.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates. That man is Alan Robinson. He is a cannabis activist, a cannabis entrepreneur, and he met with some Republican state lawmakers and others, but he's telling the tales. So I got to ask you, Alan, you're a pragmatist. You're a practical man.
I try.
We are not going to see meaningful medical marijuana legislation from this Republican-controlled, gerrymandered legislature. That's my impression. Why do I say that? Because the Assembly Speaker today basically threatened the governor and said, there's no path to legalization, and if Tony even mentions it in the budget, then all bets are off. We're going to burn every bridge. I mean, that is not a path to compromise. That is Boss Voss being Boss Voss, and LeMahieu is on the same sort of ego trajectory.
You know, I have absolutely, you know, I can't speak to how Leader LeMahieu, how he's posturing or how he feels or thinks, because, you know, his chief of staff made the decision to blow us off for the meeting today, which I think she will come to find was a very, very costly mistake. But I digress. No, the Republicans are not acting earnestly. They're not working earnestly. This feels much more like political gamesmanship. And if you look at what the governor has done historically in his budget, he originally put in medical. After that, he went bigger with medical and adult responsible use. I don't think that he's going to backstep on that, although I don't have any insight as to what's going into the budget. If we have history to be our guide, then we know that the Republicans took, what was it, 300 items out of his last budget in like.
Well, they shredded the budget and gave him back a budget, and Tony effectively signed a Republican budget in the lead up to a reelective year.
Well, okay. So we know what they think of his budgets, right? And we know that he's going to do what he wants with his budget. But we also know that at the end of all of that political gamesmanship, perhaps they'll have something that they'll sign. Now, is cannabis going to be a part of that? I think the field looks like it's going to be a standalone piece of legislation. I don't think they're going to write it back into the budget. If he puts it in, and if they pull it out, if, right? I don't know. But what I do know is that if they are thinking about a standalone piece of legislation, or if they are thinking about putting it into a budget bill, they aren't thinking about doing it in from an informed stance. They're doing it from they're doing it from a stance that is going to be at least mostly prohibitionist at heart. It's going to be more restrictive than what you would see out of Minnesota. And we saw our neighbors go through that foolishness. They are changing their law. Right. So, like,
you mean Minnesota?
Minnesota, right.
Yeah. Some Republican legislatures kind of screwed up, you might say. Didn't read the bill they were drafting, apparently. Folks, that's Alan Robinson. He's a fine guest. Cannabis, marijuana, the topic of the day. And Dom, it seems like it's your turn, so I'll let you go once.
Yeah, I'll jump in. Thanks again, Alan. And let me just say this real quick. I do appreciate you and the other business owners that are in the cannabis industry taking the time out of your day to go and try to inform the politicians on this topic. I do appreciate it. And although it may have not have worked out the way you want it to, you know, certainly those efforts have to be made. And so I commend you and your crew for doing that. A quote here quickly from Evers, spokesperson. Governor Evers is among the overwhelming majority of Wisconsinites who believe we should legalize and regulate marijuana, much like we do with alcohol. The governor ran for re-election and won, promising to propose legalizing marijuana in his next budget, and he will keep the promise he made to the people of Wisconsin. So I expect, Alan, that will be in the budget, and I expect the Republicans will try to rip it out. The question is, you know, does Evers, you know, does he back it up? Does he stick it back in? Does he make a fight over this? And I wish he would.
No!
You know, we'll have to wait and see what happens. But practically, Alan, what's your sense of, let's talk about, you know, the other legal states here in the country. And next to us, of course, Minnesota, Illinois, and Michigan, the ones that, you know, I go to, Illinois and Michigan specifically. And there's differences in the laws, like differences in how they calculate, you know, the weights and how much, you know, each citizen can purchase and all those kinds of things. Have you gotten into those kinds of details on volume and how it would work out? Is that even a sense of discussion right now, or is it just real top end informational meetings at this point?
I promise you, they aren't looking at anything as nuanced or detailed as the weights, the limits. The best bill that I saw come out of the Republicans was Patrick Testin's, and that wasn't great, right? All of them have had some sort of issue. The best bill that I've seen has been Melissa Agard's adult responsible use bill, and it actually it's an evolving bill. It keeps getting better. Right. I've seen some pieces of legislation that are for decrim that would do some strange things with, you know, with the limits between certain weights. None of that is as comprehensive as a full adult responsible use cannabis bill.
And Senator Agar's been on the front line of this since she's been in the legislature, so we commend her as well. Alan, I joked before about bringing a bag of money, but I really, literally, is there any, you know, lobbying effort? Is there money being raised to disseminate to
these Republicans buy cheap? Is what Dom's trying to say. Have you ever consider raising a bag of dollars and giving it to the Republicans? It might change their mind.
Well, that's a nice way to put it, Crudy. But yes, engaging in the political contributions, shall we say.
I'll tell you this, man. I understand that grease palms shake smoother. But like we don't have any PAC money to throw at this, and I'm not going to do that, right? I'm a Wisconsinite. I'm old American. This is a business, right? And their job is to regulate these industries. Their job is to make sure that the people of Wisconsin have safe products to consume, etc. Right? If they don't want to do their duty, then that's their that's on them, and they need to get voted up out of their seats. They don't need to get like greased like campaign contributions and all that. No, we're not considering that. I was thinking about putting up a billboard in their districts, you know. you know, just to let their constituents know that they are the reason that we don't have cannabis reform. But I don't know. We're thinking about that. Do I have a minute to tell you about the specials I got running?
Just under a minute. Make it quick, my friend.
HerbalAspect.com or come down to 3547 University Avenue. I've got 30% off sale and a hemp-derived Delta 9 gummy, 15 milligrams. I got to give those to you right here, right now, Crudy.
Those are the legal sort, regulated and okay by the FDA and the state law. And quick question as we leave the air here. Is it possible the fact that we have legal Delta 8 products, cannabis light, I'm describing it as, do you think that keeps us from getting all the way to legalized marijuana?
Absolutely not. I actually think that our industry is in danger of being regulated out if we allow the Republicans to do what it is that they want to do.
Happy birthday, Allen Robinson. We're out of time, man, but
thanks, man.
Party on. Have a great day. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. You can listen as well, Allen.
Thanks, Allen. Happy birthday, man.
Thanks, man. Bye.
Good luck, guys. We're all counting on you.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open for your take. We'll get there shortly at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, thank you to our most recent guest, my neighbor over here in Madison, Allen Robinson. His shop is Herbal Aspect, and he is a cannabis activist and obviously entrepreneur. And Dom, I mentioned to Allen, we're doing something special over here at Civic Media. I'd like to share it with the rest of the audience. So if you'll indulge me for just a minute, we are giving away $1 million, Dom. $1 million. Not all at once. It's not like you win the lottery. But if you are a small business owner, an entrepreneur in this state, if you just got one of those little Main Street grants, a bounce back grant, well, we're going to give you a little enhancer, a sweetener, Dom. We are giving away, as a statewide media outfit, $1 million in advertising. And the announcement's being made today. We are just starting to tell the people. So let me do the official Civic Media corporate media.
All right.
Dom, we are excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations. And we're doing something big, really big, to celebrate. How does a $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Hopefully good. Save the date. Thursday, January 26th. You'll be able to fill out an application for a piece of our giveaway and your chance to work with Civic Media sales team to create a radio advertising campaign promoting your business across the network for free. The $1 million advertising giveaway starts 9 a.m. on Thursday, January 26th. Dom, it's a one day only. We're giving away $1 million in one freaking day. So you're welcome, Wisconsin. And people have asked me, some of my fine clients here in Madison. You know, we've had sponsors, man, back to the old Heartless Media days, right?
Right. It's been a long time, Michael.
Sponsors that have been supportive of this product for going on a decade. So anyways, I got asked, what about existing sponsors? Are they eligible? And the answer is hell yes. And obviously, we've got markets like Madison where we're pretty damn established. I mean, some say greatest radio show this town ever saw. And then we've got some other new arrivals, Dom, Green Bay especially. That's one I got my eye on, coming very, very soon. Well, we're going to give away advertising in all these different markets all around the state, all the Civic Media Network market covering areas. And that pretty soon is going to be the entire state of Wisconsin. So free advertising, no strings. There's no buts. All you got to do is sign up on the website starting at 9 a.m. Thursday, January 26th. And I would appreciate if you told them the Devil's Advocate sent you. There's a little drop down. Just say, which show did you hear it on? Devil's Advocates, the super Devil's coolest, greatest radio show ever. So anyways, thanks for listening. Thanks for indulging. Free advertising, $1 million worth. I mean, it's not going to be small. It's going to be huge. I'm very excited. Did I mention I'm excited?
Very cool, Crudy.
844-967-2789. A patient, Jack from Merrimack. Welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Jack.
Well, hey, first of all, right from the beginning of the program, I can't imagine anybody that just doesn't love the Devils. I mean, you guys are just great.
Well, we are great, especially in our own minds.
Yeah. Thanks, Jack.
Well, thanks, yeah. Jack.
I mean, we all know that. Anybody who listens to your program knows that. So anyway, where do I start here? Let's see. First of all, Voss and virtually all of these Republicans have been so gerrymandered in place for more than the last decade. They're just sure there's no consequence for any action they take or don't take, no matter how extreme or unreasonable. And that includes an action like spending 3/4 of the year on vacation or not sharing $6 billion surplus revenue. I mean, these guys are just, they don't care. So they're going to do whatever their donors want them to do.
Jack,
next,
these Republicans next, I think, make not caring a virtue. Before we run out of time, thanks for listening, Jack. Before we run out of time in this hour, Dom, I got one last quick thought for you and the audience. Wisconsin's proud progressive history is dead. That's not exactly how the headline reads, but Dave Zweifel's got a piece at the Cap Times. I want to throw it out for especially our Wisconsin audience. The once proud state of Wisconsin begins yet another year looking up at most of the rest of the country. The state was once hailed as a laboratory of democracy because of its willingness to try new ideas and forge policies aimed at leveling the playing field between the haves and the have-nots. It passed laws that sought to benefit all. Now the state is a mediocre player on the national scene. As recently as 2020, the Harvard Political Review observed that in the early 20th century, no state better embodied this laboratory of democracy label than Wisconsin, which experimented with new progressive state policies. No person was more responsible for those policies and their legacy than Robert La Follette. A quick quote, Tom. A member of the Republican Party and an icon of the progressive movement, La Follette led the charge to pass policies in Wisconsin that protected workers' rights, instituted direct primaries, protected the state's forest, and broke up large corporations. Wisconsin passed the nation's first workers' compensation law in 1911. The same year, it was the first to enact banking and railroad regulations to protect consumers. In 1919, it became the first state to ratify the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. The first state, Wisconsin was. And in 1932, it was the first state to enact unemployment compensation benefits. In 1959, the Wisconsin legislature was the first to recognize collective bargaining rights for public employees. Well, that was before Wanker. In later years, it became a leader in conservation and environmental policies, some of which served as national models.
Pretty much of that energy was mimicked by other states and the federal government itself. Social Security was a Wisconsin idea that Franklin Delano Roosevelt adopted to protect the well-being of the nation's senior citizens. Other states picked up the mantle and unfortunately have left Wisconsin in the dust. In the overall scheme of things, it might seem like small potatoes, but there is no better example of how we become a laggard than the state's failure to increase the minimum wage for 15 years. 23 states increased their minimum wage on January 1st, with another three on track to do so during the year. It's estimated that 8 million Americans will realize pay increases as a result. The state poised to provide the highest minimum wage is Washington at $15.74 an hour, California $15.50, and D.C. will rise to $16. All told, 30 of the 50 states plus D.C. now have minimum wages above the federal wage of $7.25, which hasn't changed since 2008. Wisconsin is in the company of the states like Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Wyoming. There have been several attempts to increase Wisconsin's wage floor, but the Republican-controlled state legislature has refused to even consider it. Former Governor Scott Walker infamously declared he didn't believe in a minimum wage and that the free market would take care of it. Tell that to the millions the free market leaves out, and then add to that Wisconsin's refusal to expand Medicaid to cover health insurance for tens of thousands of low-income state citizens paid for no less with federal money. Plus, there's the old canard that if you make a business pay more to their lowest paid workers, they will simply lay some of them off to compensate. Besides, opponents of raising the minimum wage claim most of those getting the base wage are teenagers working part-time jobs.
Dom, let me bring this to conclusion. A legislature that spends its time devising ways to thwart gubernatorial appointees, inventing ways to prevent debate on issues like gun safety, Medicaid expansion, or giving Wisconsin citizens the right to propose